The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. I'm Tony Lightfoot, and welcoming you to the Swiss Pro Slalom post-event podcast episode. And like 2 weeks ago with the Swiss Pro Tricks, I decided that why mess with a good format? Interview the organizer of the competition because they have a behind-the-scenes perspective, and they probably have more to say about the event in the end rather than trying to chase down skiers as they're leaving the site. So with that in mind, let's reintroduce Mr. Clint Stadelbauer, the tournament director. How are you doing, sir?
Great, Tony. Thank you. A little tired from the day, but doing great.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, that's my one and only French for this portion of the podcast. So, Swiss Pro Slalom 10th edition. You introduced some neat little things to help us celebrate the 10th anniversary of this event. And for those that that weren't at the event, they were treated to some of it with the pictures of the 10 winners, the 10 occasions in which the Swiss Pro Slalom took place and the winners of each one. That was a really nice touch, I believe.
Yeah, we had that in mind. So when you walked up to the site, you could see like the winners every year. We had many times Nathan and Regina. We had Will, Freddie. So as you walked, you could kind of remember all these years and who won it. I think that was a nice touch for today.
All right, then. So anything else you want to comment on behind the scenes a little bit? Because, I mean, what you saw on the webcast is certainly one of the best webcasts that we've been involved with here at the Swiss Pro Slalom, and the TWBC being involved once again right from the start, all but the very first event, which was in 2015. But any observations you would make?
No, we just tried to make sure this one was a good one. I thought it was. It was one of our best ones. We did a few extra things with our 10th anniversary logo. We made sure everything was good. We had a great running boat. The skiers, you know, we're very fortunate. From year one, we had always had the best skiers in the world. It was the same this year. So the skiing level is just going higher and higher. I think we have a proven format. Anyway, we like it, the two rounds and finals, giving, you know, all the skiers a good chance to perform. So this year was just a bit more emotional, I would say, to pull through the 10 years, have many of the skiers that were here from the beginning still ski today.
And obviously a little heavy-hearted, of course, because of the passing of Bill Wenner, who is a real world popular official here in the southern region. And he was actually your first ever chief judge for the very first one in 2015.
Yes, certainly. Bill Wenner was actually our chief judge for the 2015 and the 2016 edition. He was also he worked a lot on other tournaments we did. So indeed, yeah, it was a bit emotional for that also, yes.
All right, then. So a lot of stuff happening, a lot of moving parts. You know, we have the women's slalom skiers, you know, where we had, 10 of those, and we had close to 25 skiers in the men's event. The event not without its little gremlins, because I don't know, for all of you eagle-eyed people out there that were watching, probably noticed that for a while that there was no drone shots, and there was a good reason for that.
Yeah, you said it, Tony. I mean, that's more on the TWBC end. The drone just on itself pretty much crashed.
In Vincent's words, it just fell out the sky.
Yeah, fell out the sky in the lake. So we lost the drone. That was solved, you know, by the team behind the scene. 2 hours later, a new drone was up. Somebody went and picked up a spare one, got it going, got it calibrated, got it going. And then we had the beautiful images from the drone again in the afternoon. So yeah, that was, you know, it's what happens at every tournament, I think.
And anyone who's experienced a warranty claim with DJI, get in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Indeed.
All right, then. So let's go on to the actual events as it transpired. We had the tried and tested proven format where we have two rounds. one first round women, first round men, second round women, second round men. So among our women's competitors, who kind of stood out for you that didn't make it into like the top five or anything like that?
I mean, I'm maybe a bit biased, but definitely for me, Alice Bagnoli skied great. I mean, she skis with us, you know, all the time. She skied actually her best day today since a month. She didn't make it into the final. I think she was just first out, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And she performed very consistently, you know, 5-4 at 11.25, which for her is a good score, not a best score. But so, yeah, I think she's the one that stood out for me, you know, aside of the top five finalists, yes.
And obviously, Samantha Stadelbauer, of course.
Yeah, yeah, obviously she skied the first time at Stadelbauer. It didn't go the way she wanted it today. I think she's been skiing actually very, very good the last month, better and better. And I think she was a bit disappointed, maybe doing too much, or she couldn't find the right balance of intensity, I think, on her two sets today, either too little, too much. So, okay, she learned from today. She's going to be stronger for the rest of the season, I'm sure.
Yes, now that she doesn't have to worry about attending like daily classes at FIU anymore.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, now she had a bit of a break. She deserves it largely.
Absolutely. Ali Garcia slalomed pretty well, getting a 4 at 11.25 in round number 1 and 5 and 11.25 in the second round. She was the first one out, so to speak, in terms of making it through to the final, because even though Ali Nicholson and Regina Jaquist were kind of on the outside looking in after round 1, they performed a redemption task between the two of them to make it through to the final.
Yeah, Ali's always a strong skier. I know she wants to run 11. In this case, it didn't go as planned. And then, yeah, as you say, Regina had a tough first round. She geared up on the second round and showed what she could do. And then we went on to the finalists, which, I mean, all skied great. You know, to make the cut at Swiss Pro Slalom is never easy. The level is very, very high, whether it's in the women or in the men's field.
Yes, and I kind of suspect that between Alicia Bagnoli and Ali Garcia, you know, during the course of last season, we were always wondering who would be the next skier to go through 10.75 meters at 39.5 off. Ali Nicholson answered that question last season. Yeah. So now we're searching for the next one. And who do you think would get there first between Ali and Alice?
It's hard to say, Tony. I mean, whomever has a lucky, I mean, not a lucky break, but I mean, a good set in a tournament will run it. You know, they're both most capable of doing it. They have both done it. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting the right set at the right time. And we're still early in the season. All this is going to flow out easily in a few weeks to come.
Yes, indeed. And we've got Masters qualifiers coming on next weekend and the weekend after, and then the Masters themselves before we continue on with the World Ski Pro Tour at Lake 38. But in the meantime, let's have a look at the top five. Paige Reaney, she was outstanding in this competition.
Extremely outstanding. She's a strong competitor, very, very good skier in three events, actually. I love the way she slaloms, very technical. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard during the day that it was she said in an interview her first final at Swiss Pro Slalom.
Yeah.
Which I thought she had done already a final. So I'm very happy for her because, as I said, it's quite a feat to make the cut at this event. It's a short cut, 5 skiers only in the woman. So kudos to her. I'm very happy for her because it's a slalom skier I really like.
Indeed, indeed. And we look forward to seeing more of Paige Reaney. I'm sure that she'll be a part of the MLCQs coming up with the next 2 weekends with the hope of making it to Callaway. Regina Jaquist. Now, this result kind of... Anyone that's followed the Swiss Pro Slalom will look at this and like thinking, what the heck just happened? But there was a very good reason for this, and it occurred in the final where she came across the number 2 at 10.75 meters and didn't really gain full contact of the handle, and almost suffered a pretty much a season-ending injury had she had not been alert and on her feet to avoid any kind of damage.
You said it, Tony. She kind of misgrabbed the handle, or actually overgrabbed it on her forearm, and did good actually to make it to 3. That obviously threw her off. And it's skiing. You know, when you're in finals or whatever, you're a bit nervous. Everything's a little different. Things, you know, tend to happen in tournaments that you usually never happens in practice. It's the way it is. I mean, at 10.75, there's not much margin. And luckily, it happened to Regina. It was kind of over because of that. It's, what can I tell you? It's tournament water skiing.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Anything can happen. And Regina Jake was unable to defend the title, which she's had a grip on for the last 9 seasons, because there were 3 other competitors that finished above her, and in 3rd place Ali Nicholson didn't exactly have the best of starts, fell short of the halfway mark at 11.25 meters, but then she came right around in round number 2 with 1.5 and eventually ended up in 3rd place with 3 on that same line length, improving with each round.
Well, yeah, it's Ali Nicholson. She's a very competitive girl. She came to do a few sets with me prior to the tournament, and to be honest, her best score was in the final. So in practice, she did like 1, 1.5, or 2 at 10.7. So did she in the first 2 rounds. In final, she put up the big game and did actually her best score lately, placing her in the top girls. Yeah, so smart skiing.
Yes, indeed. And 2 others finished above her. Whitney McClintock-Reaney, still that wily... It's hard to say. She's becoming a veteran in these types of situations in the pro ranks. You know, she always seems to be able to dig down deep and come away with the score that she needs in order to advance through into a finals or that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, she did that in round number 1 and didn't have to ski in round number 2, which saved her energy long enough for her to reach a 5 buoy count of 10.75 meters.
Great skiing from Whitney. She's super strong, super fit. I told her, actually, she won the strongest pool, so that proves me right. She skied excellent. She's always a very smart skier. She's, as you say, veteran, but in terms of mind, I mean, she knows what's going on at her tournament. She knows how to win. She knows how to ski. She's been world champion. So, okay, today she didn't win, but she's always a wrecking force on the starting dock.
And the one person that could deny her the win eventually did. Jamie Ball, the 2-time world slalom champion, made it through to the finals out of round number 1 with 3 at 10.75, then 1 at 10.25, which enabled her to share the top score points on the water ski pro tour by equaling the best score of Regina Jaques on 1 at 10.25 meters, and replicated that score in round number 3 as well, but a deserving winner and the first time winner here at the Swiss Pro Slalom.
Yes, so after 10 years that finally changed. Jamie Bull won. Excellent for her, great skiing. She really deserved it, because if you saw her 10.7, I mean, that was committed skiing, zero hesitation. She cranked number 3, you know, offside turn. She was not that great in mid course. She really, you know, didn't hesitate a lot, committed completely on number 3 ball, which, you know, gave her space to have an opportunity to finish the pass. Then did it again on her number 5 at 10.75. She could have eased up at 5, risk a tie with Whitney, do a runoff, but no, she went full on her offside turn at buoy number 5. So definitely no safety check. She ran it, won. I mean, she fully deserves it. That's great skiing. That's committed skiing.
Certainly, certainly a great competitive effort there, and her win, her maiden win in the Swiss Pro Slalom, definitely deserving of the Skier of the Day award presented by 2U Nutritional Bars.
Yes, exactly. I mean, she really went for it, totally.
Absolutely. So that brought the close to the women's slalom event, and now the men's competition, an expanded field all the way up to 24 skiers. Now, I'm going to ask you pretty much to comment on maybe 1 or 2 skiers that finished outside of the top 8, because we pay down to 8th and actually taking 8th through to the finals, I beg your pardon. But what were some of the surprises in your mind? And bear in mind that the slew of skiers that we've had from ninth place all the way down to 24th place. You know, I mean, there are no slouches there on the Slalom course, but for some of them, they just didn't quite have the luck of the draw and a good performance to go into this weekend.
Yeah, Tony, yes and no. First of all, we're 24 men. They're the best in the world. I mean, it's so hard to ski at that level. You know, we're talking about 10.75, 10.25. To me, all the 24 skied great. You know, conditions were perfect. They all skied excellent. They're all amazing skiers. If one stands out, like just, you know, it just comes on top of my head, is Jaime Palomino Blanc. First round, the young kid, he hasn't been skiing that great the last week. You know, kills 10.75 the way he knows how to ski. You know, aggressive. I like it. Young skier goes in, doesn't think too much, and just does it. You know, that's one amongst all the other. I mean, everybody skied great for me, but if one sticks out, maybe just now, it's him outside the finals.
Now, the person for me that kind of stands out, another young skier, Lucas Cornell of Australia, who I talked to you privately before the event, and I was going to say, don't neglect Lucas Cornell. I mean, look for this kid. I mean, he could be doing some great stuff on the Swiss Pro Slalom, totally, and right. He almost did.
Yeah, you're totally right. I thought actually that he had made the final. Sorry, Tony. So no, Lucas Cornell, obviously, same thing as Palomino, aggressive skier, a mix of old school and new school. The guy's strong. The guy's really to watch. I'm sure he's going to do many more Swiss Pro Slaloms, and we're going to see more of him. That's for sure.
And some skiers are also to look out for some of the other competitions of the season. Kamil Bamra, who made his debut here in the Swiss Pro Slalom for the first time.
Yeah, definitely. He's been skiing the Swiss Pro Slalom a few years. Every year, you know, better. He's growing as a slalom skier, has more experience. So it's slowly building up. He's got excellent talent. He's excellent in his turns, whether offside or onside turns. Good feeling on the ski, so we'll see more of him also. Yeah, all this junior, new generation, actually, which skied Swiss Pro Slalom with wild cards, they all deserve highest recognition.
Certainly. So let's get into the top eight, finishing eventually in eighth spot. Now, bear in mind that just to get even within a sniff of making it through to the top eight, you had to get at least halfway down 10.25 meters. That's almost unheard of.
But I mean, Tony, you know, the water skiing is very harsh. It's crazy. I see Freddie Winter, you know, 2 times world champion, current world champion. He does half at 10.25 on the first round, puts him 15th, you know, on the result list of the first round. I mean, you see how high the competition was today. That's why I'm saying they all skied great. It's at this level, it's really by a hair. I mean, the competition is to the millimeter.
Indeed. As a matter of fact, right after the second round of slalom, Freddie Winter came up and said and basically told me that that none of the people that finished on the podium in the World Championships last season, him included, made it into the final of the Swiss Pro Slalom, and basically captioned that that statement to say that it's easier to podium at the World Championships than it is at the Swiss Pro Slalom.
Maybe, yeah. It's a high level tournament, that's for sure. Yeah.
Indeed. So let's start off with Corey Vaughan, who's no stranger to skiing here at the Swiss Pro Slalom and this part of the world, and getting three at 10.25 meters to keep his challenge alive, but ending up with a score of also three at 10.75 meters in the finals, having scored two at 10.25 meters as a backup score.
Well, Corey is acquainted with Swiss. He skis pretty much all our tournaments. He comes and practice here. Remember, he's from Virginia. He went to Mumbai. He just had to practice in cold weather. So a bit of inconsistency you could see through the results. Very good first round, not so good in the finals. You know, we're early May for Corey that's skiing, you know, and it's still in cold water and everything. It's perfectly understandable.
And maybe
he's a driving force. He's also a veteran. He knows what to do. So I think for him, great start of the season, although he didn't perform as well as he wanted in the final. But he did make the cut, you know, so which is already a feat in itself.
Yes, indeed. And I was wondering whether his ski would actually be up to the task, you know, because he suspected that he may have damaged his ski to the point where it would be unusable. But flex tested the ski prior to him going out, figured that it was good enough to ski on. And indeed, it was. He went through to the final and eventually ended up in eighth spot. Now, Cole McCormick from Canada, doing likewise free at 10.25 meters. Did that in round two. Didn't quite have the same kind of luck in round number three. But encouraging signs going forward. Technically, he's looking about as sharp as he typically does.
Yes, he's getting fitter and fitter. He knows how to ski. He's got great coach. You know, both his parents are world champion. He knows what he's doing. He skied very good the first round. Maybe wanting a bit too much in the final. Got maybe I don't know. You know, when you're in the final, it can work for you or against you. Maybe this time he didn't have his head where he wanted to and didn't succeed the way it was planned, I think.
All right, then. So moving on from Cole McCormick, we go on to one of the skiers that I'll be looking out for during the course of the season to see how his progression continues. Jamie Calhoun from Canada.
Yeah, Jamie Calhoun, I know him since he's a kid. He's been skiing a lot at Swiss too. He does a lot of our tournaments. He's a great skier. I think from the finalists, I really admire him. I mean, he has a regular job. The guy ran 3 times 10.75 today, which not many skiers in the world can do. So amazing. He skied in the finals. He got a good one. He's a left foot forward. Came to two. Didn't hesitate. Just committed. Tried to make it to 3 or 4, which is a good score. It didn't work as planned. He couldn't execute it, but that's the way to ski. So congrats, Jamie, really.
Yes, indeed. Certainly look out for him. Now, another skier that we would all naturally look out for to see if he can perform a redemption job for the next tournament, in time for the next tournament, is surprisingly in fifth spot, Nate Smith.
Yeah, Nate, I mean, obviously everybody knows Nate. He's the most talented skier out there. He's doing his not flying school anymore, but flying training, so he hasn't skied much or not at all. So, you know, a little less skiing. Obviously, you're not as sharp, especially when you go into a finals at Swiss Pro where everybody at 10.25 counts. I think he did a great tournament. It was, for his condition, good to be in the final. He didn't succeed as he's used to. But okay, I mean, very fair result at the end of the day.
Certainly, you know, and look out for him as he continues to go along the season. We look out for him on the World Ski Pro Tour and see plenty more points added to his total. Charlie Ross. Now, I think slowly but surely this skier is definitely coming of age, you know, because I mean it was a few years ago where he ran 10.75 meters for the very first time and set in a world under 17 world record. Now he's had at least a couple of lean seasons where he's probably made it into some final rounds of competitions, but just not quite sealing the deal for one reason or another. Maybe the pressure or the expectation, you know, heaped upon his shoulders. He's coming to, but I honestly think he's crossed that hurdle now and will look to try and reassert himself and keep his head and shoulders high above the pro skiers that surround him on a daily basis.
Well, Charlie Ross surely knows how to ski. His technique is excellent. He's got a very good stance on the ski. He knows what he's doing. As you say, he's grown up, and you know, to me, you start becoming a slalom skier at the age of 30. He's 18, and as you say, he starts already to understand. So he's going to be a slalom skier at 20. So he's learning very quick. He made the finals. He's way more consistent. He skied great in the finals. So he's definitely getting there, and he's a threat to everybody.
Absolutely, and that was Charlie Ross. Now, top three, and I'm particularly gratified with this one because all of them are from Great Britain for the very first time in the Swiss Pro Slalom. So let's start off with the world overall record holder and former world overall champion, and getting closer and closer to the point where we could actually see him be a pro event winner in the slalom event. The only thing he's missing, really, and Joel Poland coming through in third spot with his score of 3 at 10.25 meters in the final, replicating the score that he produced in round one.
Well, Joel is incredible. He's probably the most talented skier out there. As you say, he hasn't won a slalom event yet, but it's going to come. He skied great. He had a really good shot of almost making four at 10-2-5 in the final, which would have been a hard score to beat. He was very close to that. I love, as you say, the full British podium with the relationship, Will Robb being cousin. I mean, it was an amazing final. I think Joel's very, very happy about how he skied, and he certainly deserved it.
Yeah, certainly, and he did a fine job at the Swiss Pro Tricks a couple of weeks prior, so he's off to a good start this season, and I'm sure that he'll probably only need to enter one MLCQ competition to qualify for the Masters. I definitely think he's got that within him to do that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, Tony.
All right, then. Runner-up, also from Great Britain, Robert Haswood. Now, this time last year, Rob Haswood made it through to the final by basically throwing himself at buoy number four, doing that front somersault that we all love to play here on the TWBC on occasion. You know, it's even included in the opening reel prior to each event taking place if you're of sharp enough eye to pick that one out. But Robert Haswood, consistent from start to finish, you know, and I think, as I think he kind of like migrates away from needing to trick or to jump or to put any kind of overall score together, his slalom skiing is only going to get better and better and more consistent.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all know Rob Haswood is a great overall skier, but I think he prefers slalom. He loves this tournament. He loves the site. He's always been skiing good, you know, at Swiss. I mean, the guy just commits, you know. What I preferred of the whole day from Rob was actually second round. He had to run 10.75, and you guys saw how he run 10.75. Very easy, very committed, didn't hesitate. The final, exactly the same kind of skiing. Strong skiing, you know, we always say there's the British style, which is in slalom has been proven. Then you have a step up, it's the Haswood style, from Mike Haswood to Rob Haswood to Will Asher, which is the Haswood family. These guys are very, very hard to beat. Really, really strong skiing.
Yes, able to get through the toughest of conditions and match that up with some of the finest spots out there in the world and producing some good scores.
Totally.
Yeah, Robert Haswood. But the eventual winner, definitely one for you older folks out there that... love to cheer on one of the greatest slalom skiers ever to put on a ski. Will Asher, who made it through to the final, not needing to ski round number two. He just went in for a couple of passes, went in 12 meters 11 just to suss out the conditions. But he qualified with four at 10.25 in round one, and then backed it up by winning with 3.5 on that same line length.
What can be said about Will Asher? He's definitely, probably the best technical skier today. I mean, you watch him ski, you want to put your ski on and go on the lake. I mean, the guy definitely knows how to water ski. He knows how to win. He's won Swiss Pro Slalom already. He had like strong competition today. I think the whole tournament actually, he mastered the day. Like he won already first round, so he was, you know, he was in the lead from the beginning. And I think when he left the dock in the finals, 3 at 10.25 for Will on any day is totally doable. So he skied confident. He skied like he knows how to do it. And he's still going very, very strong. And I think, you know, you become a slalom skier when you're 30. When you're 40, you're even stronger. So it didn't surprise me at all. And I'm very, very happy for Will because he's always a very evolving slalom skier.
Certainly, and you know this. I mean, I don't know if it was so much in jest, but he's getting a little bit into that foil boarding, you know, and just trying to find new and inventive ways to occupy his time away from slalom skiing, and doing a fine job. And obviously, whatever he does, whatever he comes up with, he seems to like be able to reinvent himself and do something a little bit different. And you know, variety, as they say, is the spice of life. I don't know how that translates into French. You can probably tell me how that translates to French, but Will Asher seems to have found that proverbial fountain of youth, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. And you know as well as me that Will Asher used to be an overall skier. He's a great tricker, a great jumper. That guy can do everything. He's a very talented athlete, actually.
Yes, indeed. So, all right, then we're going to start putting a bow to this edition of the TWBC podcast. It's certainly been a great event. You know, the TWBC is going to be going to a whole bunch of events this coming summer. We'll be in places such as Italy and Greece and Morocco, the United Kingdom, back over to Canada and to the western portion of the United States. Now, out of all of those events that you're looking forward to watching, what are one or two of the events that are definitely be featuring prominently for you?
Well, they're all going to be nice. The competition is going to be great. All I can tell you, Tony, is that I'm flying to Morocco. I want to see that tournament on the African continent. I think that's going to be the biggest party and the nicest tournament this year.
Yes, you dancing in the souk and the market there in downtown Marrakesh.
It's going to be something new for water skiing. It's going to be great. So I hope everybody joins in.
All right, then. So that has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. Once again, thank you very much, Clint Stadelbauer. Now, is there anyone you'd want to thank or acknowledge before signing off?
Yeah, well, I want to thank everybody that helped for this tournament, the whole family. I want to thank TWBC. You guys are doing a great job. And let's push it on. See you next year.
All right, then, and that has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. Be sure to communicate with me on podcast@waterskibroadcasting.com to find out more. And if you want to offer support for the podcast, that's the way to communicate with me. But my name's Tony Lightfoot. You've also been listening to Clint Stadelbauer. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.